Praise the Lord. We want to talk this morning about our heart's desire. In Psalm, well, before we get started, good morning, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Jim and Kathy. Good morning, Andrea and Dale. Good morning, Terry and Barb, also out there in Arizona. You can come this direction anytime. We'd love to see you. Morning, Mark. My friend Mark over in Buffalo. Now, there's a shipmate that saw me in the old days. People that knew me before who said, "Wait, you're a preacher?" Praise God. That God changes us. That God works in us. I want to talk about our heart's desire. Beginning with Psalm 37, beginning with verse 3, says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourselves also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." We're going to stop right there for just a minute. We're going to get back to it. So we don't need to change the slide or anything. We're not going to jump into any of the other scriptures that we have listed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. How many people would love to have the desires of your heart fulfilled? I got like two hands, three hands, four hands. Okay. Starting to get unanimous here. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. If you remember the story of the flood, which I'm sure we all do, but I'm sure there's some details we might have missed. Prior to the flood, prior to Noah being told to build the ark, the Bible said that God looked down on the earth and found that the desires of men's heart was to do evil continually. Keeping that in mind, how many people would like to have the desires of their heart fulfilled? You see, the scripture doesn't say God will fulfill the desires of your heart, and that's the end of the statement. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, He will cause any, even his enemies, to be at peace with him. Doesn't say you won't have any enemies. Doesn't say you won't have any turmoil. What it says is, when we bring our focus in line with who God is and what God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives, God is going to use that to bring things to pass. When we commit ourselves to following the things of God, when we commit ourselves to seeking His face, then God works in that. God gives us the right desires. We've talked before about things we always wanted. I would love, absolutely 100% love, to be able to walk out my back door and go fishing. Not have to get into a car, not have to go down the road, not walk out my back door and go fishing. I told you a couple of weeks ago about that house we saw in Georgia, and their backyard was basically a moat, a big old pond. I mean, right out to the edge of the deck. Yeah, you didn't even have to step down off the deck. The deck was a dock. I mean, the deck was a pier right there to fish. The desires of my heart. What's that? What I am saying is, I recognize that the desires of my heart might not necessarily line up with what God has planned for me. Praise God, He hasn't given me just what I want. Praise God, He still has a plan for my life. But if I will delight myself in the Lord, do the things that He has called me to do, seek His face in everything, then God is perfectly capable of changing my heart. Now, I want you to know, I grew up in the Everglades. I can remember, I was a little kid. I was probably four. And right across the road from where we were living was a pump house. So when I was 4 years old, being the oldest of three boys, actually two boys at that time because my youngest brother wasn't born yet, my job was to babysit my younger brother. And here's how we did it. Before my father left for work in the morning, he would take his rifle and shoot a bird. Some bird would be on the wire. He would shoot a bird, and I had a little Cub Scout knife. And I was to take that little bird that my dad had shot and turn it into fish bait. And all day long, my brother and I were at the pump house, the little bitty pond, you know, maybe 10 feet around, right across the road where the pump puts irrigation water through the canals in the sugarcane field. And we would go there and fish all day long, catching fish. And every once in a while, we'd catch a monster. It might have been 4 inches long. That's what I grew up doing. That's what I love to do. But God has another plan for my life. I don't live in a place where I can... Don't get me wrong. I can get to a place to go fishing. I have to walk like half a mile. But I can't just go out to the end of my back deck and go fishing. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, God will give us the desires of our heart. And I think the lesson in that is, as we delight ourselves in the Lord, first off, our desires are no longer selfish. Our desires are no longer for our personal desires, wants, needs, physical comfort or whatever. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, we go seeking His heart. We go seeking His face. We go seeking His way of doing things. One of the songs we sing has a line that says, "Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours." Lord, the things that are important to you, I want them to be important to me. To delight myself in the Lord, to do the things that God has put me here to do, God has gifted me to do, in each and every one of us, the things that God has uniquely made us to do and to be able to do. God hasn't given you your giftings and callings just so that you can go out and make a lot of money and have all the comforts of the world. That might be part of what God wants to do. So far we haven't seen that in my life, but you know, God is able to do that. There are people that God has gifted that are very, very wealthy. But a big portion of the wealth that they make ends up going right back into the kingdom. So I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with using the gifts that God has in any way. But God has a perfect plan for your life and a perfect plan for my life, that if we will commit our ways to Him, if we will trust in Him, if we will seek His face, if we will draw close to Him, then He will change the desires of our heart to be the desires that He has created us for. He will use us the way that He has made us to use. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So in three verses here it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Goes on, it says, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. God is going to take care of you, Scripture says. As we trust in God, as we seek His face, as we commit our ways to Him, as you say, Lord, You have me here for a purpose. Guide me in what You want me to do. Give me a heart to do the things that You would have me to do. Commit yourself in the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. Delight yourself in Him. Those are all acts of our own will to seek God's face. I don't want to do things my own way. My own way has caused trouble. My own way has caused pain. My own way has been a mess. But Lord, You have a plan for me that is for my good, for me to prosper, for me to grow, for me to be effective. You have a plan to use me to enhance and encourage and strengthen the kingdom, to strengthen my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we read later in Scripture that the whole body is fitly joined together and is strengthened by that every joint supplies. That's in Ephesians. That we are to encourage and strengthen one another. We know that from Scripture. So that's part of God's plan in our lives, is He has gifted us and He has given us abilities and strengths and personality traits and work things in our lives to bring about good, to make an impact and encourage other people. But if all we're looking for is our own benefit, if all we're looking for is our own comfort, if all we are looking for is the pleasures of the moment, then we miss out on what God has planned for us. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. How many times do we hear in Scripture, don't worry about what anybody else is doing? It might seem like somebody is able to get away with it. I don't know about you. I've had many times happen in my life where I got in serious trouble for something that my brother got a pass on, seemed like. At least that's what it seemed like from my perspective. Or having a coworker that seemed to be able to get away with anything, and I'd get in trouble for it. The Bible tells us, don't worry. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Don't worry about what somebody else does, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. In other words, somebody else seems to be getting away with things. That's not your business. It's not your job. God is the one who brings justice. God is the one who brings vengeance. God is the one who's going to take care of it. You can't fix it anyway, and you don't have all the information. You just see a little sliver, a little part of it. So it says here in the Psalms, don't worry about it. It's not your headache. That's that real New English translation. You know, the common saying these days is, not my circus, not my monkeys. Yeah. I got several friends that say that. Mine is more along the lines of, I have enough headaches of my own. I don't need that one, so I'm not going to worry about it. There are things that go on around us that we can't change anyway, so why worry about it? The God who sees everything, who sees the end from the beginning, who knows everything there is to know about us, knit us together in our mother's womb, and is at work in our hearts and lives, is also at work in other people's hearts and lives. And He's the one they have to answer to. Not to me, not to you. So, verse 8 says, cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret, it only causes harm. In other words, don't worry about it. Don't let it affect you. Remember, we're supposed to delight ourselves in the Lord. We're supposed to commit our ways to Him. We are supposed to trust in the Lord. Verse 9 says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Yet for a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully in his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Keep in mind, this is written in the Psalms. So this is written somewhere in the general vicinity of, 4,000 years ago? 3,000 years ago? Yet for a little while, think God has a slightly different perspective on time than we do? Lord, wicked are all over the place. Yeah, just wait. Be patient. There's coming a time they won't be in your way anymore. Down in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning with verse 7. Again, in Deuteronomy is basically a review of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Just in Deuteronomy, Moses runs back over a lot of what has already been covered in the other chapters, in the other books, kind of summarizing But verse 7 says, also the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you and who persecute you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you to abound in all of the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the book of the law, and if you shall turn your heart to God with all your heart and with all your soul. So, really, how is that different than what we just read in the Psalms? As we focus on God, God takes care of us in our circumstances. That does not mean that our circumstances are never difficult. It does not mean that we don't have enemies. It does not mean that we don't have conflict. It means that as we trust in God, no matter what, as we focus on Him, as we seek His face, as we commit our ways unto Him, God directs us and God works in us for His grace. God works in us to show us His ways. I don't know about you. I'm encouraged by that. I'm greatly encouraged that as I focus on God, as I seek His face, as I draw close to Him, then the things that are going on around me no longer have the effect that they did when I was only looking out for my benefit. I was only looking out for my pleasure. I was only looking out for my comfort. Many years ago, Pastor Howard was still the pastor here. We had come over, that was back in the days where we had Sunday school and where we had choir practice and we had Sunday school, and Deb and I got here for the start of services and start of the choir practice and all of that probably about 8 o'clock in the morning. And 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning, the skies were lightly overcast like they are now. The lawn was green like it is now. And as we got in here, it began to snow. And by the time we got out of here, which was pushing noon, there was 18 inches of snow. So,
and it was still coming.
So we start driving out of here. Pastor Howard and Joan were in front of us. Debbie and I are going, no, they were behind us. Pastor Howard and Joan were behind us. Debbie and I were going, and we get up along Route 2, a little bit this side of Goose Point, and there was a vehicle coming the other direction. And I eased over just a little bit to let the vehicle pass me, and the tires caught in that deep, soft snow and sucked us right down off the bank, down into the edge. And my loving bride looks up at me from the low side and says, "You never pull over in snow. You stop and make people go around you. You never pull over." Okay, I'm from South Florida. We don't drive a lot in 18 inches of snow. So I got that. So Pastor Howard and Joan dropped me off at Rich's house right up the road and took Debbie home. So I'm waiting for the tow truck. There were a lot of vehicles off the road that day. We called the state police. And they said, if nobody's injured, we don't care. We have enough other things going on. We're just not worried about it. So I'm waiting patiently for the tow truck, camped out in Rich and Robin's living room. And I'm there probably for, I don't know, a good 3 hours. Finally, the tow truck shows up. And we come down to get my car. And as we get closer, he says, "Is that your car up there?" I said, "No." We get a little closer, and we find out that somebody went off the road and landed on top of my car and totaled it. Okay, praise God. And I had just had a lot of work done on the car, and so just shelled out a lot of money, so I didn't have a lot of cash left over. All of a sudden, my car is totaled. And got it pulled out, and the next day, the snow was, I mean, it's April, so the snow didn't stick around. But the next day or so, I was over here looking, and right in front of where my car had gone in was a pipe, about 18 inches, 2 foot diameter, drainage pipe that had come out. And I realized that if my car hadn't been there, when that other car went off the road, the angle it was at, it would have hit that pipe and flipped over into 4 feet of water right there at the edge and potentially drowned somebody. You know what? If God wanted to use my car to save somebody's life, I'm okay with that. But if all I could do was see, what do you mean you went off the road? My car was fine. You totaled it. If that was my attitude, how would that be a light? How would that be a witness? But the fact that I can say, if God wants to use it that way, praise God, it's God's car in the first place. Our attitude makes a difference. When a man's ways, or actually, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. If the desires of our heart are to be a light and to be a blessing to the people around us, then it shows through in our actions. It shows through in our attitudes and it makes a difference. If the desires of our heart are for our own benefit and our own blessing, our own comfort, that also shines through. And how is that being a witness for the Lord? Still in Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning with verse 45. Moses finished speaking all of these words to all Israel. And he said to them, set your hearts on all the words that I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing to you, because it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over to the Jordan to possess. Moses said, as you focus on obeying the things of God, as you focus on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, as you focus on declaring the grace and glory of God, as you focus on setting your minds on the words of the Lord. Remember, they were commanded to talk about the things of God when they got up, or when they stood up, when they sat down, when they went out, when they came back in, as they walked around, as they walked about the day. No matter what they were doing, they were to be observant and to talk about the things of the Lord. Just to meditate on the Lord all the time. Teach your children. Share it in your household. The rulers were supposed to write out their own copy of the law. They weren't supposed to have it written out for them. They were supposed to write out their own copy so they knew what the law said. Each and every person, you know, it talks about binding them up, binding them on your hands and on your forehead, putting it on the door, the mezuzah. As you go into a Jewish household, they have a little piece of scripture in a thing on the side of the door, just to let you know that this is a place that serves God. It was to be a part of their life. And as it became a part of their life, it says it's not a futile thing you do. It's not a useless or a empty thing that you do. It is your life. Over in Daniel chapter 10, verse 10. Remember, Daniel's been praying about things that were going on and seeking God's face, trying to get some answers. And for 2 weeks, he's trying to get answers and nothing seems to be happening. Verse 10 says, and suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble to my knees and on the palms of my hand. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourselves before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. From the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Do we think God loved Daniel any more than He loves us? God used Daniel more than He's used us, but do we think God loved Daniel any more than He loved us? I don't think so. I think each and every one of us, as we humble ourselves and set our hearts to understand and to seek God's face, our words are heard. As we determine to draw close to God, does that mean we're perfect? Absolutely not. Does that mean we don't stumble, we don't fall, we don't make mistakes? Absolutely not. Because wickedness is in our nature, but we need a new nature. Wickedness is in our heart. Yet God is at work. And God is willing to change us. If we desire, if we set our hearts on things that are selfish, if the desires of our heart are just like it was back in Genesis before the flood, the desires of men's heart was to do evil continually. But God is able to give us a new heart. When we set our mind to follow the things of God, when we set our mind to seek God's face, from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Praise God. As we set our hearts, as we determine to follow after the things of God, and that doesn't mean it's easy. And that doesn't mean, like I said, that we don't stumble, we don't fall, we don't sin. What that means is that it's a process and God is at work in us through it. We continue to learn. We continue to draw close. Paul, talking to the Philippians in Philippians 4, beginning with verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." In other words, the way you conduct yourself reflects how you believe. If you believe God is close, if you believe the Lord is able to change your heart and change your life, it's going to be reflected in your attitude. It's going to be reflected in the way you conduct yourself. If you believe that unless the sovereign hand of an almighty God had changed my life, I would have been, I don't know, I'd have been dead. I'd have certainly been a mess. So the things, the blessings that I have in my life are not because of me, they're because of God. And that's humbling. That's when we recognize that I have nothing to boast about. Jesus Christ changed my life, and He's changed your life. And because of that, we can humble ourselves, we can seek God's face. Lord, You've done a wondrous thing so far. I can't wait to see what You have coming next. Be anxious for nothing. Do we fret? Do we get in a panic? Not quite sure how we're going to be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Does God know the things you need? Absolutely. Does Scripture tell us to ask Him anyway? Absolutely. And thank Him in the process. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, if you have a peace that surpasses all understanding, that means having peace in that situation doesn't make any sense. That means the situation might not look from the outside like something you should have peace in. But the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, that's saying that our focus is on the things of God. God, even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of the pain, even in the midst of the problem, even in the midst of rejection or persecution or whatever the issue is, we know that You are at work and we trust You. We trust You that no matter what comes, You are still God. You haven't forgotten about me. You haven't cast me aside. You are at work. Even in this, help me, Lord, to show Your grace to the people around me. To show off that peace that passes all understanding. To show off that peace, that comfort of knowing that no matter what happens, There's no reason for me to be upset. No reason for me to be angry. You've still got this. You are still in control. He goes on, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be on you, will be with you. So Paul says, even in the midst of, you know, everything going on, look for things to meditate on, things that are positive, things that are good, whatsoever things are true. I can grab a hold to this, the fact that God loves me so much He sent Jesus to die for me. God hasn't forgotten about me. All of my days are written in the book, every last one of them. Whatsoever things are noble. Deb and I were driving down toward Burlington yesterday, and there had been a car wreck, and several people had stopped to help. Everybody was standing out, so there wasn't anybody injured to the point where they couldn't get out of the vehicle. But several vehicles had stopped. Whatsoever things are noble. That's pretty awesome that people who were there before us had managed to stop and get out and make sure everybody was okay. That's a pretty noble thing. That's something to give praise to God for. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just. I read an article this morning about a young man that had been falsely accused, convicted because he had a lawyer that suggested they really not put up a defense, and had been sent to prison. And one of the tough old inmates said, if you just give up now, it won't be long before you're just in a complete mess. You need to fight this. You need to study. You need to learn. And the young man began studying law in the prison library and came across some people that worked for having cases reexamined for people that had been improperly treated by the justice system. And when a review court took a look at the case and retried it, the young man was exonerated. And he said, now that I'm out, I know what it's like to have been there. And he began in community college studying law and working with organizations for as an advocate for people who have been falsely accused, who are in the same situation he was. That's just. He was falsely imprisoned. Imprisoned on a false accusation. And when it got reviewed, he was exonerated. And you recognized from his second chance that he needed to be an advocate for other people. That's just. What are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the turmoil around us, just looking at all of the big problems, the problems that get overwhelming, or are we instead doing what God told us to do? Delighting ourselves in the Lord, trusting in Him, committing our ways unto Him, and begin looking for those things to give praise to God for in the midst of the circumstance. Doesn't matter what our circumstances are. We don't have to praise God that we're in pain. We can praise God that there are people who care. We can praise God that He's given us the ability to stand. We can praise God for a host of things if we will first put our focus on those things to give praise for, rather than just the difficulties that we face. And as we focus on God, as we seek His face, He changes our hearts. We started this back in Psalms. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. As we focus on God, our heart's desires change to be the desires that God has given us. Our desires change because they're no longer selfish. They are no longer self-serving. They are rather to see God's glory manifest in our lives and in the world around us. To see hearts and lives of people change. To see our loved ones come to know the Lord. To see righteousness in our land. To cry out for the people of God. To be a blessing and to be a light. And as our focus changes, and God can work through us, giving us the desires of our heart, the desires that He has placed there. Praise the Lord. Father, we just come before You this afternoon, this morning, recognizing, Father, Your love and Your blessing. Recognizing, Lord, Your hand in our lives, Lord, Your tender mercies. Recognizing, Father, that You are changing us from glory to glory. That left to our own devices, without You, our desire is selfish. Our desire is self-serving. But in You, as we commit our ways to You, as we delight ourselves in You, as we seek Your face, as we draw close to You, as we become obedient to Your Word, and just giving glory and meditating on the things that You have shown Yourself to be at work in, Lord, that You change our hearts. Young Saul went before Samuel the prophet. And the prophet told him some of the things that were going to happen. And Scripture says, as he left and began walking through that process, that God gave him a new heart. Saul had many problems. But he also had a wonderful chance. You've given each of us that wonderful chance of a new heart and a new life because of Jesus. So Father, we thank You for it. Work in us, Father, to be glorified in our lives. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.